So we're going to try to discover what God has in mind for us as far as in our what drives our life and what moves it forward and his big picture for our life. And so it should be an interesting journey, and I'm glad that you're here. We kind of launched it last week a little bit and gave you a little background about some of the different areas that people pursue in their life to find purpose. And we looked at power and pleasure and intellect and reason having stuff just a variety of things that we find. We looked at the life of Solomon and how Solomon pursued that. He had the ability to pursue whatever he wanted. And in the end, he found out that all that stuff was meaningless. It didn't provide that meaning in life. And he summed up the book of Ecclesiastes simply by saying, the state of man, or the purpose of man, is to live out the duties of God. The purpose of man, our purpose comes from God. And so we're going to look at that and five different aspects of what that purpose is like. Today, I want to kind of begin this journey, go a little bit deeper, and look at this idea of calling. Ever heard that phrase before? Calling. My calling in life. Have you ever used that phrase before? What are you called to do? It's a familiar phrase. Some people use it when they feel like they were called to protect the environment, or they were called to be in the ministry. I remember my calling. They say that a lot about ministers, that they were called into ministry or that they were called to another church. And I very strongly felt my call into ministry. And a lot of people that know me and been a part of our church know my story, that I never wanted to be a minister or a preacher. I wanted to be a football coach and a high school teacher. And the Lord had a different idea for me through a set of circumstances and how I ended up being here at Crossroads College here in Rochester. It used to be called Minnesota Bible College. And was in a class that I was attending about the ministry of the church and how the church can impact your world, where I felt a strong call to change my plans and what I thought my purpose was, and to switch them over to what God's call was in my life. Now, some of you might have, maybe not as dramatic as that, but it was pretty dramatic for me because it was the exact opposite of what I wanted to do. God's call on your life. In Romans 8, verse 28, the Bible says this: we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And this is one of the most well-known verses in the Bible. It's one of the great promises of the Bible. And we a lot of times look at the first part of this verse where it says, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. And we use this usually in trying circumstances to try to make sense out of life. So many people go through struggles in life and they try to wrap their minds around it. Why in the world did this happen? And that's a hard question to answer. And I always tell them, you can't answer that question. It'll drive you crazy. What we have to do is put our trust in the who. Who do we put our trust in? If we put our trust in God, then he will help us endure through these circumstances. Not necessarily take them away, but he helps us endure through these circumstances. And then he can take these horrible things that happen and he can redeem them and somehow or another make something positive out of that. It might be a life change for us individually. It might be that people that go through these circumstances then go and help someone else that are going through the same circumstance. And so we were learning in our class today that God never wastes a hurt. He uses that in order for us to help encourage other people that have gone through similar things in our life as well. It doesn't solve that problem necessarily. It doesn't totally soothe over that pain, but God can use that and use that for good. Somehow or another, turn it into good later down in life. And a lot of us would understand that until the end of life. So we like to focus on that beginning part of the verse, but there's a very important second part of that verse where it says that he has called you according to your purpose. That word called is a word that's used probably over 100 times in the Bible. And that word called is very similar to the word purpose. In fact, it's probably used more in the sense of purpose, that God has called you to something in particular. It's always used of God calling someone to do something. When you run that word through the Old Testament and New Testament, you'll see that it's God calling out. And that's the word is kaleo. It sounds just like the word call. But he calls us for a particular purpose or a particular assignment. And so I want to look at that word today as we kind of build this foundation about what our purpose is. That God calls us to something beyond ourselves. The Bible story, in the Bible, it talks about God calling people. He called Noah to build an ark. And he called Abraham to move to a new land and to start a new people. He called Moses to lead his people out of Egypt. He called Nehemiah to rebuild a broken city. He called Mary and Joseph to be the parents of his son. And he called Peter and Paul to be preachers of his good news. They had a specific purpose in life. But our calling can be a general calling for all of us as well. When we become followers of Christ, He gives us a calling in our life or a purpose in our life. So my life's calling is an invitation to join God in fulfilling His purpose for my life. Now we're going to spend the next few weeks defining what those purposes are. There's not just necessarily one purpose. There's five different purposes that we're going to be looking at. But I want to look at this idea of calling today just so that it builds this foundation about how important it is that we understand this idea that God has called us to a purpose. And so I want to look at what I need to know about my life's calling. Maybe some of you are struggling in life right now trying to figure that all out, to figure out that even if even in the life that you're living, and you've probably made a lot of mistakes or whatever it might be, if God can take that and use it for something, or if you've disqualified yourself from God's purposes in life. And hopefully today we'll learn that that's not the case, that God still has a calling that He wants us to fulfill. So let's look at this idea of calling. The first is this. My calling is a gift from God. In Galatians 1:6, the Bible says, God called you to follow Him, and He called you by His grace that came through Jesus Christ. He was writing to some Christians that were kind of falling away from the faith. They were going away from a grace-filled faith into back into a legalistic mode of faith where they would do in order to please God. And Paul, the writer of this letter to the church in Galatia, is trying to remind him, says, "Don't you were called to follow Him, and He called you by His grace. You didn't earn any of this, that it was all about God's grace in your life." Grace means unmerited faith. This was given to you as a gift from God. First, it says that God called you to follow Him. God wants to have a relationship with you. In fact, that's why He created you. The whole reason for creating the universe and the planet Earth was so that He could have a friendship with His creation. Even scientists, when they study and look at the intricacies of how this world was made, some will come to the conclusion, many come to the conclusion, and say, it looks like that even the earth and the atmosphere and the environment around it and everything else seems to be created for the very purpose of human life, that human beings could survive. And of course, when we read in the Bible, that's exactly why it was created. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And in the very next chapter, He talks about He created it so that He could have a relationship with humankind. So God wants to have a relationship with us. We're going to talk a lot more about that next week. But mankind rejected God because they wanted to be their own God. They wanted to make decisions for themselves without God's help. That attitude, that rebellion against God, is called sin. And sin has separated us from God ever since. In fact, we are doomed to die because of that disobedience. And that's why so many people don't know what on earth that they're here for. They tried to define life without God, and it just doesn't work. Now, the passage says that God called you to follow Him, and He called you by His grace. That word grace, again, means unmerited favor or undeserved kindness. The fact is, God knows all the things that you've done in your life, and even when we were thumbing our nose at God, even when we were rejecting God, He still loves us, and He still wants a relationship with us. So He continues to call us to that relationship. That first call in our life, that first purpose in life, is to have a relationship with God. But it's not based on our merit. We didn't do anything in order to get God's attention. We didn't do anything, you know, we weren't this perfect little human being that God just fell in love with. He's always loved us, even when we were far away from Him. I don't earn it. I don't deserve it. I don't work for it. I don't bargain for it. I don't barter for it. It's just a flat-out gift from God. And so your calling, a part of that calling is salvation. God calls us to have a relationship with Him and to save us. That's our first aspect of our calling. That's a gift of grace. It's not something that we earn. But He also calls you to live a life after that, a life of purpose, after that gift of salvation. And that purpose, that calling, is a gift as well. So God gives me a calling in this life simply because He wants to give it. I don't deserve it. He just simply gives it. And it should make you appreciate that God has granted us that purpose in life and that calling in life. Now, the second aspect of this calling is that I am called for God's purposes. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 9, the Bible says, God has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything that we've done, but because of His own purpose and grace. There it talks about that. It's a gift again. But I want to highlight that idea that it's His own purpose, not for some special purpose just for us. God did not make you for you to live a selfish, self-centered, me, me, me kind of life. You were made by God and you were made for God. Until you understand that, life is never going to make sense, and you're going to be frustrated throughout your life, and you're going to have all kinds of difficulties because you don't understand that you were made for this relationship. You were made for God. We get frustrated because when we think that we're made for this relationship over here and that falls apart, we're going like, God, where are you? We get frustrated when we think that we were made to have perfect health in life, and then when we get sick, we say, where is God? Why aren't you here? Or when bad things happen to us, God, why did I thought happiness was... That's not the purpose of life. Our purpose is to have a relationship with God. And those things don't necessarily get in the way of that when we see that we were made for God, not necessarily for the stuff of this world. It's for God's purposes that we live. God's calling is about His plan for my life, not mine. His dream, not my dream. His purpose, not my purpose. Not my parents' purpose, not my boyfriends or girlfriends or boyfriends or whatever those kinds of phrases that whatever drives us and whoever drives us, it's not about their purpose. It's always about God's purpose for our life. But let me remind you, we can trust God's plan. He is the creator and knows exactly what we need and how to experience a great life here. But that is only experienced when we pursue His purposes in life. So I am called by God, it's a gift, and I am called to His purposes for me. Now the third aspect is this, that God chose me before I was born. Notice these verses of different leaders or different speakers, different preachers, different leaders of God's people throughout the ages. We look at Paul, for instance, in Galatians 1:15. He said, it pleased God in His kindness to choose me and to call me even before I was born. What undeserved mercy. In Jeremiah 1, verse 5, it says, "Before God says to Jeremiah, before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you." And in Isaiah 44:2, the Lord says to Isaiah, I am your... Or He's talking to the people of God, not to Isaiah in particular, but He's talking to Israel, the people of God. And He says, I am your creator. You were in my care even before you were born. And what does that all mean? It simply means that you were born and you're not an accident. That when you come into this world, you are part of God's calling, His purposes in life. And so that your life has value the very moment that you are conceived. That's why we support life, and that's why we're so about protecting life for little children and even unborn children, because they have a calling in their life. They have a purpose for their life. They have a value in their life because God sees us when we are forming in our mother's womb. And I've heard the statement to say, you might have some accidental pregnancies, but there's never accidental children, because children have a calling on their life. And God has value and meaning for you as soon as you were conceived. It was all part of His plan from the very beginning. And it even goes back before that, and it goes back to my original statement of that why God created the world. He just didn't create the world, and he goes, you know, it'd be kind of fun to have some animals here, zip, and then there's some animals. And then I think it'd be kind of fun to have some human beings here, zip, and these human beings, I kind of get a kick out of them. I think I'm going to pay attention to them. That's not how it worked. It was, I want to create a people for myself to have a relationship with. They're going to be valued, and I'm going to love them, and I'm going to be their God, and they're going to be my people. And so I'm going to create a world for them, and I'm going to fill it with this and this and this and animals, and then I'll let them have domain over it, and then we'll be in right relationship with them. Human beings have an extreme value. You have value. God knew you before you were born, and He calls you to a special purpose before you were born. Now, what that means is that you are, don't ever think that you're an accident. Don't ever think that there is no value in life, no matter what you've done in life. Just by being who you are as a human being, you have value in meaning, because God knew you and had a plan for your life even before it began. That is exciting to me because it says that God cares about me and he wants to see me through no matter what happens in life. Now, to add to that is aspect number four is my sins and mistakes don't change my call. In 1 Timothy 1, verse 12 and 14 through 14, it says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength and who judged me faithful enough to call me into his service. Even though I used to be a blasphemer and did all that I could to injure and discredit the faith, mercy, however, was shown me because until I became a believer, I had been acting in ignorance, and the grace of our Lord filled me with faith and with love that is in Christ Jesus. Now, the Apostle Paul is talking about himself there, and he's reflecting a little bit and thinking that, you know, I really didn't deserve to be called, but God still called me for my particular purpose in life, which was to be a church planter. That was the Apostle Paul, and a teacher, and did an amazing job with that. But he called him also to the overall purpose in life, to have a relationship with God and to fulfill his purposes in our lives. So there's a specific and a general call. But notice he talks about that. He says, God called me even though I used to be a blasphemer and did all these things. And injured. I mean, he attacked the faith. He was a terrorist against the Christian faith. He had Christians put to death. And then God met him on the road to Damascus, and his life was changed. And the world was changed because of that encounter. Paul is trying to get his readers to understand that even in life we mess up, and some of us have a checkered past. I like to say a lot of us have a checkered past. We have so many checkers, we can have a checkers tournament. Is that so checkered, right? But it doesn't disqualify you from God's call in your life. In fact, God, as we read in the very first part of that verse, can take bad situations and use them still for his glory. He can use those situations or those experiences that you've gone through in order to help somebody else maybe make it through those experiences. So my sins and my mistakes don't change my call. And that's important to understand. As long as you go back to God and repent of your sin, he will forgive us and we keep moving on in life. Now, we can reject that call. We can reject that call, but God never rejects us. He will give us what he wants. If we want to reject God, then God will give us what he wants. He will say, okay, if you don't need me, I withdraw my presence. And then when you die, you'll be eternally separated from me. God always gives us what we want. If we don't want him, he gives us that. If we want him in our life, then he fills us full of him in his life. So when we have stuff that happens in life, those things, even though it might hinder us from living that life, and the mistakes. We always have those scars and the hurt feelings and that emotional burden that we carry because of our past. But when we come to God, he can clean that out of us, and then we can carry on and live out his calling for our life. So it doesn't disqualify us from that. Number five, my calling is permanent. In Romans 11, verse 29, it says, For God's gifts in his call can never be withdrawn. Now, the context of that sentence is God's people, the people of Israel. In the Old Testament of the Bible, God chose them because they were a weak nation, and he wanted to have someone to model his kingdom life in the world. And so he chose the tiny nation of Israel and turned them into a great nation. And they were to be a model and a light to the rest of the world for how to be in right relationship with God. Fortunately, they rejected God. But his promise was that they would be his people, and then through them, he would bless the rest of the world through their offspring. Now, that could have been kings, that could have been just who they were themselves, but he was talking in particular about his son Jesus Christ, who was a Jewish, born into a Jewish family, and therefore went on to be a blessing to all the nations of the world. So in this Romans passage, we spend lots and lots of time talking about it. When Jesus came onto the scene, it was some of these Jewish people that rejected him as their Messiah, as the one that God had appointed to rescue the world. And so God opened up the promise then of his being his people and being their God to the rest of the world, the non-Jewish world, or the Gentile world is the word that's used. And so people were asking, okay, then, well, what happens to the people of Israel then? Are they still your special ones? Are they still chosen? And Paul says, God's gifts and his call never can be withdrawn, meaning that absolutely they are still his people. And the call still is for them for salvation. They still need to respond to that. They still need to say yes to Jesus. But he did not withdraw that promise that they would be his people and he would be their God. That call was permanent, even though they're rejecting him at this time. Does that make sense? It's kind of can be confusing to think about that. But the whole point I want to make to you is that call is permanent. God doesn't change it. Even if we reject it, he doesn't change it necessarily. It's a steady thing throughout all of life. That's a good thing. You know, we live in a culture that changes continually. How many things can we note today that are acceptable that weren't acceptable 30 years ago? And those things that we used to call sin, if you're against them now, you are the sinner. Isn't that amazing? That's all changed. So culture kind of flows and moves back and forth. And it's hard to grab onto something because it changed. How many of you used to get yelled at for wearing a hat in a building 30 years ago? And how that's changed culturally, that's something that's acceptable for older generation above my... I had a guy welcoming someone at a church I was at, a little church, and a young man walked in with a hat on, and my greeter goes, snaps his finger, get that hat off right now. That was his greeting, first time that he entered into our church building. And that person never did come back, unfortunately. That was a value that from another generation that had not passed on to this next generation. Now, we're not talking about arguing the debate about values right now. My point is that God's call in our life doesn't switch back and forth. He's had that call from the very beginning about who he wants us to be. So it's permanent. It's like a compass. The compass is based on the gravitational pull of North and South Pole. It only works if that is constant. If it was constantly moving, we would get lost. If it moved a few directions, we would go in the wrong direction. It's got to be constant. And God's purpose is constant. His calling in our life is constant. It's permanent. Number six, my calling is also connected to others. In Ephesians 4, verse 4, it says, we are all one body, we have the same spirit, and we all have been called to the same glorious future. And in Hebrews 3, verse 1, it says, brothers and sisters, you are holy partners in a heavenly calling. You know, it's always nice to know that you're not alone. And when we are struggling with a particular issue, it's nice to be able to talk to someone who has dealt with that same issue. God created us for community. And we will learn that in the next few weeks as we looked at one of our purposes is that we were formed for God's family. And we not only live out our calling with others, our calling is also for others. So we not only live it out together, but we live out part of our calling is that we make a difference in other people's lives. We are to share Jesus with others. It's not only about my survival in life. It's about bringing as many people with us as possible on the journey that we have with God. It's a very unselfish life. It's a very selfless. The whole idea that God's working on is get the attention off of ourself and get our attention on God and others around us. That's why when you want to define the Christian life, it's love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love my neighbor as myself. When we love God and we love other people, we're going to be that heals our soul inside. But it's about getting rid of self. That's the goal of life. And God helps us to do that by making us do this together, living out this calling together, and then not only together, but sharing it with other people so they can live out that calling as well. Number seven, God will empower me to live out my calling. In 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 11, it says, we always pray for you. We ask our God to help you live the kind of way that he called you to live. The goodness you have makes you want to do good, and the faith you have makes you work. We pray that with his power, God will help you do these things more and more. Whatever God calls me to do, he's going to empower me to do. In other words, if God's given me an assignment in life, he's going to enable me to do that. He's going to equip me to do that. He's going to empower me to do that. He's going to strengthen me to do that. He's going to give me the ability to do that. He's going to give me the courage to do that and to step out in faith and to live the life to its fullest We have to believe in that. That same power that resurrected Jesus from the dead is available to us to live out his calling in our life. That same power. So that means if we have a dead life, he can raise up a dead life if he can raise up a dead body. And that's good to know, because sometimes our calling might seem impossible to do. But God specializes in the impossible, and he empowers us to live it out. And the final thing is that when we live our calling in life, there's a prize in the end. In Philippians 3, verse 12 through 14, the Apostle Paul says, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I keep working toward that day when I will finally be all that Christ saved me for and wants me to be. Just think of that. I'm waiting for that day that I'll finally be what Christ has saved me for and wants me to be. That's our calling in life. No, dear brothers and sisters, I'm still not all that I should be, but I am focusing all my energies on this one thing. Forgetting about my past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God, through Jesus Christ, is calling us up to heaven. You know, the Olympics are going on right now, and at the end of the Olympics, if you win, you get the gold medals, you get a prize, and that the Olympics were founded back in the Greek culture, Roman Greco culture. And when the Greeks would run races, they would receive a wreath of leaves, and sometimes they would receive cash rewards. So he has that in mind, Paul, when he's writing about that. He's thinking about someone that's competing in the Olympics, someone that's competing in some kind of athletic event. And he says, I'm running my race in order to get the prize at the end. I'm living out my calling in life. And when I live it out, God will bless me with a prize. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 12, he says, we encouraged you, we comforted you, and we kept urging you to live the kind of life that pleases God, who calls you to share in his own kingdom and his glory. That prize is to be in God's presence forever, and we get to share in that ultimate kingdom where he is our God and we are his people, and all the hurt and the yucky stuff of life is gone, and then we will dwell in his glory and his goodness and his greatness. That's the ultimate prize if we can just keep ourselves focused on his calling in our life. That's something to look forward to. It's something that gives us hope, because we all know, we all struggle in life. We go through some junky things in life, and we need something to help keep motivating us to keep going. And even when we have to face death in certain ways, we all have to do that someday, unfortunately. We all have to come to that point in our life where we're going to have to look at that. When what's going to be on this life? And if we stick to our calling in life, then there's a prize waiting for us. And that's an eternal life with Jesus in God's kingdom of heaven. So that's just this idea of call. I just wanted to kind of lay that out for you so that you are called to a life beyond this life here in this world. That calling is your purpose in life. And in the next 5 weeks, we're going to look at five different aspects of that calling and how we're going to live that out, in particular, in the lives that we have here. They are constant. They are permanent. How we do that, it's expressed in a lot of different ways, but these are foundational principles that we are to live out in our life. And my prayer for you is the same prayer that Paul has in Ephesians 1, verse 17 through 19. And it's just an awesome prayer, and I love the Message paraphrase of this. A paraphrase is when you translate a passage out of the Bible. The Bible is written in Old Testament in Hebrew and the New Testament in Greek. And there's translations called literal, where you line up this Greek word with this word, and you put that all in one sentence, and it's kind of rough sounding because their flow isn't necessarily the same as our English flow, right? So a paraphrase is that a scholar translates that, and he steps back and he says, okay, how can I say this in my language, kind of capturing the essence of it, not verbatim, but the essence of it, okay? That is true to what's being taught, but also makes sense to our modern ears. So I like how he does. That's a long explanation for a little verse, but here's this. Paul says, I ask the God of our Master, Jesus Christ, the God of glory, to make you intelligent and discerning in knowing him personally, your eyes focused and clear, so that you can see exactly what it is he is calling you to do, to grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life that he has for Christians, the utter extravagance of his work in us who trust in him. Endless energy and boundless strength. You want endless energy and boundless strength? It goes back to knowing God's calling in your life. And that's what my prayer is for all of us as we go on this journey for the next 5 weeks. That we understand God's call in our life, his purposes for our life, and that we learn how to live them out so that we can have endless energy and boundless strength, and to understand his extravagance of the work in us that he's trying to form within us. I like that. I think that's kind of a cool thing, and I'm excited about that journey. And so I hope that you're able to come back next week as we look at our first purpose. We were planned for God's pleasure. We were meant to have a relationship with God. We're going to look at that and the different components of that, that we were made to be loved by God. We were made to be loved by God. That's our first purpose in life. So come back next week. But I also want to encourage you to do a few things. First, come back each week and listen to the messages so that it builds, each one builds in each other. And so come back, these, if you can. If you can't make it, then listen online. They're going to be taped, although we didn't get last week's tape. Forgot to push the button. So I'll get that up. I'll redo it, and we'll put it back on there so you can hear that. So you can listen to those online if you don't make that as an excuse to miss, all right? Sit back in your jammies and listen back at home. We want you here because we want to see your face, and we want to encourage you. Second thing, participate in a small group. They're still they're starting this week, and so you can still jump into a group. And inside your insert there, there's a list of some of the groups that are going on. Now, we had one started this morning, but we didn't have anybody come this morning, so maybe Sunday morning's not going to work for anybody. But we have them starting during the weekday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And so please, please come and let us know so that we can plan for you. And there's a cash prize if you come to my house. No, there isn't. But anyway, any way to get you there, that would be great. No, there's lots of great different places that you can go during the week, and we encourage you to be a part of it. I've watched the DVD studies, and they're very, 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 very good. They're taught by Pastor Rick Warren out of Saddleback Church, and they're doing some phenomenal things promoting some of the things that they're doing out there. I love that church. I just read recently that their church has done a mission trip in every country in the world, 194 countries that are in the world, and they've done a mission trip to every one of them. And their goal is to have a Bible in every language by the year 2040, I think, something like. It's just a phenomenal church. They're doing some really neat things. But you'll love his teaching, and I encourage you to be a part of that. And then watch the extra, read the book. You can get a book called What on Earth Am I Here For? And it's filled with Bible passages about our purpose in life. And it's kind of just a daily devotion. They're set up that you can read it over 42 days, which is the next 6 weeks. Seven times, that's 49 days. Seven weeks is 49. You better get going reading. There's about 42 readings there. Actually, it starts this week, so there's 42 readings. And you just read a little. It takes you about 5-10 minutes to read, and it just focuses your attention on each of those purposes. It's very, very well done. And in the book, you can also go online and listen to some little online devotions. One is 3 minutes long, and then you can actually listen to another message for another 50 minutes if you want. But they just do a good job at reinforcing that principle there. All right? All right. We want to encourage you to come, keep coming and learning about God. God has a call for your life. Now, it might not necessarily be a preacher. That's just how I'm living out my calling. But there's a bigger calling in life that he wants all of us to pursue in life. And that's where we find meaning and value and purpose. And that is what we are on earth for. Let's pray. Lord, again, I'm thankful for everybody that's in this room today because you brought them here for a reason. Maybe you needed them to hear that they were created in your image and that they have a call in their life. And Lord, how exciting that is to know that there is meaning, even in the middle of the junk that we go through, that there's something of value that we can pursue in life that gives us hope and it gives us purpose. So I know folks have been here just listening to that. Some just gather together, come and be in your presence. Some just to be encouraged. Some just to hear a word of hope. Some just to come to fellowship with others. Whatever the reason, Lord, you've called us here to learn more about you and to let us know that you love us and want to have a relationship with. And we're so grateful for that. And Lord, I pray these next few weeks that you'll help us learn more about your calling on our life as we look at the 5 different purposes that you want us to fulfill. Thank you so much for creating us, and thank you so much for the life that you give. It says in John 10:10 that you came to give life and life to its fullest. And that's what we would love to experience, Lord. And that only happens through you. So we give you thanks. Pray this in your name. Amen.